everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Ruby for All. Julie, what is up in the world?
Can I spin it and just ask you what's up?
Yeah, you can.
Okay, what's up?
I just woke up. If you're my boss, it is 6 a.m. But if you're not, it is 10 a.m. I overslept today because me and my project partner went demon mode and we finished a project really quickly. We thought it was going to take us to the end of April. It is obviously not the end of April. We freaking slayed it. And we're both just tired. And he woke up this morning and he was like, I'm not feeling well. And he fixed two bugs that we found yesterday. And then I woke up several hours later and he's already offline. And he's like, can you get this stuff merged and deployed? He's like, I'm going back to sleep. And now I feel very rested, I will say. But I woke up from a message from Drew and I was like, holy crap. I woke up full of adrenaline. I was like, I'm missing a meeting. What time is it? What day is it? I thought it was Friday. I'm freaking out. It's not Friday. So I woke up just shaking with energy. And now I'm trying to calm down.
So you had very well-rested sleep, but it kind of got intercepted by your worries of missing a meeting. And then you had this strong adrenaline. I think that's great. I don't feel good because I was up until like 3 last night.
What were you watching?
I was not watching anything.
Oh.
Actually, I was kind of watching something. I was trying to fall asleep to watching people make miniature dollhouses.
Fair enough. I rewatched the final episode of Invincible season 2 last night. For everyone listening, Invincible on Amazon Prime is an amazing show. And it's so amazing. It's based on a comic book. It's so amazing that yesterday I bought the first 50 issues of the comic book and started reading them. So if you've not seen Invincible on Amazon Prime, highly recommend. It is amazing.
Are you going to put it in the show notes?
Nah, you can find it. Hit okay. Search on your TV. Okay. Those are the instructions.
Maybe I'll look into it. I wrote it down.
I'll put the link in the show notes. It is really good. I think you would like it if you like animated type stuff. Super, super good. It's deep on like a different level. I love it. I love it. Anyway, today on the show, we have Kevin Murphy. Kevin, welcome to the show. Tell the people who you are.
Thanks for having me. I'm a software developer at PubMark. I like working with Ruby on Rails and I'm happy to be here again.
Why do you like working with Ruby on Rails?
Well, I will admit that part of it is familiarity, right? I've been doing it for a long time. So there's part of it that it just feels natural, but it also felt natural from the start. Ruby was not my first programming language. I've done a handful beforehand. I will trigger Andrew by saying mostly Java-based, and it allows me to express the concepts that I want to turn into code in a way that feels familiar and inviting, and I appreciate that.
What a mood change, bringing up Java this early in the morning. How dare you? No, I'm just kidding. This year, you and Julie are both on the RailsConf program committee. Is that correct?
As of this recording, we are both still on the program committee. They haven't kicked me off yet.
Now, for the listeners who may not know what the program committee does, as I've never been on the committee, I have had thoughts of like, oh, I should do this. And then I'm like, yeah, I've got other stuff going on. But in my mind, and I'm sure a lot of the listeners' mind, the RailsConf committee feels like the gatekeepers of RailsConf. So what is it y'all actually do?
Yeah, I mean, I think it takes a lot of different things, right? There are a good number of folks that we have, and we're all like focusing in different areas, but all helping each other out. The core of it is sort of what you mentioned of just like, we've got to put the program together, right? So everyone put a lot of work into submitting all of your proposals. So thank you all for doing that if you did. And then everyone on the committee reads literally all of them. And then we come back together after and figure it out from there, right? We have 30 great talks and 6 great workshops. I will say we had a lot more proposals than that. So there was a lot of work to try to winnow that down. And it meant not being able to put in some talks and workshops that, quite frankly, I think are very strong and would make a great talk at a future conference. That's like the most obvious thing. But then there's lots of stuff that comes out of that afterwards, just in terms of helping the speakers after they get accepted to answer whatever questions they need, whatever help they might need. There are different like logistics things that like are maybe kind of boring, but maybe not. After we put this program together, we got to put the schedule together because, hey, we got these 30 talks. Now, how do they fit together? Do we organize them in any certain way? What rooms do they go in? Things like that. And then also just all the way on through to at the conference, we need to be the friendly face who's helping people out and being willing to do whatever it is that comes up.
Gotcha. I want to ask this to Julie too, but I'm going to ask you first. When you are reviewing a talk, what are you looking for?
So this year at RailsConf, we had a defined overall theme, which was building with Rails. So I wanted to make sure that I could at least make a logical leap that it was related to the theme. That doesn't mean it has to be directly like I built a thing with Rails, right? Building with Rails can mean a lot of different things. So paying attention to what your CFP recommends for like, here are the things we're interested in, probably gives you a better shot than not. But beyond that, I want to be able to know and have a sense of what the audience is going to get out of the talk. And I want to be able to feel comfortable knowing that this is going to be exciting, interesting, and informative to the folks that are going to put a lot of time, money, and effort into coming to see the talk. And also because you're going to put a lot of time and effort into delivering it, I want to make sure that you're going to be successful by making sure, doing whatever I can to try to find a good mix between the audience we expect to be there and the thing that you want to talk about. Were there other things that you were looking at, Julie? What stood out to you?
I want to say that every program committee reviews these sessions very differently, and I'm a feeler, so how did I feel while reading the CFP? But also I want to be mindful of my interests may not be the same as other folks' interests, and I want to make sure that what's popular out there as well and take that into account.
I want to add that I'm very proud of you, Julie, because I'm just thinking back to like when we first met at RailsConf and like how quiet you are now. You're leading a RailsConf committee, you're a podcaster. I'm just so proud.
This experience would not be anywhere near as enjoyable as it is if it weren't for Julie being part of the committee. So I'm really appreciative that she's putting the time into.
This is going to be a hell yeah, Julie episode. So, Julie, this was like your first time. Kevin, have you ever been on the committee before?
No, it's first time for me too.
I'm going to ask
Kevin.
This.
Kevin has gone to a lot more conferences than I have. So I feel like Kevin's got more experience than I did.
Kevin has been to more conferences. But Kevin going to more conferences doesn't mean a ton, just because if he's like attending conferences like me, he might be out on the Vegas Strip seeing weird stuff. So who knows what he's doing?
We could also ask him since he's on the call.
Yeah, I guess less exciting stuff than that. But the program committee was just as mystical and semi-unknown to me as probably most other people. But I mean, I guess I had the benefit of I knew some people that were on the committee. So I will say that like when I got asked, I reached out to a bunch of people, and thank you to all those people who did that got back to that had been on committees before and was just like, what's it like? What happens? What am I signing up for? Because I didn't know even right after being asked.
What's the time commitment like?
I think it's pretty variable. Like I said, they're like different subgroups that are working. Like we have some people that are focusing on the workshops and some people that are focusing on helping the speakers and some people that are responsible for the overall program. I mean, I think at least this time, like the biggest commitment is just at the top right after the CFP closes, right? Because it's like, we want to have a really short window to get back to people. I think we had 10 days to review all the proposals, something like that. There were a lot of proposals and we had to get through them all. So like making sure that you had that dedicated time to get through everything and then whatever falls out of that. I mean, I think it's pretty variable. But after that, I mean, it's been no more than a few hours a week if you put it over a long scale of a couple months, but that was definitely like compressed with 1 week might be a lot heavier than others.
Do y'all know how many talks were submitted at the last moment?
I don't.
Sometimes they put that information out there. I'm one of those people, but I always feel bad for the committee when I do that, or I haven't done it in a while, but when I do that, because I know that if you submit your talk early, they can be reviewed early. And then if it's not submitted early, then at that last day, that's when everyone on the committee has to start rolling through everything.
Yeah, so that was the case in some past conferences. I don't know when this changed, but at least for us, we didn't start reviewing any of the proposals until after the CFP closed. So we wouldn't really have known or cared how many came in the last day because it was just like, it's over. There are now a bunch to read. Let's go.
Hi there, Julie here. I would like to take a moment to thank GoRails for sponsoring this episode. When I was first starting out, I struggled with finding up-to-date content to help me level up. Then I learned about GoRails. Not only does GoRails provide new screencasts weekly, they also have two fantastic instructors that break down complex topics into digestible chunks. On top of that, I really appreciate when they explain the whys behind the subject. One of my favorite walkthroughs is creating your first Ruby gem from scratch. What a great way to learn by stripping down to just the basics. If you care about leveling up as a Ruby engineer, you can't go wrong with GoRails. Check it out at gorails.com.
You think one approach is better than the other?
I think selfishly for speakers, having the opportunity to review them over time is helpful, especially if you can give feedback early. That's an advantage for those speakers that get things in early. However, it's more fair if you review them all at once, or not necessarily all at once. I didn't sleep until they're all reviewed, but in the same area of time so that you can more easily stack things up against each other versus, oh, I read that one talk 3 weeks ago and that was awesome because it was the one talk I read, as opposed to I just read 40 talks and do I even remember any of them? It's just a different set of circumstances that you're putting it up against.
And I haven't reviewed talks before, but the process to reviewing them this time around using Sessionize is that we were given three at a time and we had to compare them. And I don't particularly enjoy that process because I find that someone else had told me that when they reviewed in the past, it was more like giving a grading scale, like a 1 to 5 for each talk. And I feel like maybe that would be better for me because I feel like as I go through the proposals, I think I remember this proposal and then I might have like maybe a memory lapse and it wasn't the right one. And so I may have graded it incorrectly, thinking that it was something that I saw before.
What was the most challenging part for you, Julie?
The last 10%, because I started mixing all of the CFPs together when trying to rate them. And then I felt like I had to reread all of the CFPs again. But then at that point, I was kind of burned out.
What about you, Kevin?
I don't know if it was hardest, but I think one of the more interesting things was like after you went through the whole process, then it gives you like, here's your ranking for where you put everyone. And like, I had in my mind of just, no, this talk was like super strong. I remember it super well. And then like, just like, purely by the math, it was like, oh, it was actually like mid-level. And I was like, what happened? This can't be right. Computers are wrong all the time. I know that for a fact. So that was like at least surprising to me of I had this perception one way, but apparently I rated it another way just based on the other talks it was up against. I was still kind of perplexed about that.
It's like the audience score versus the critic score on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
Gotcha. That's interesting.
Another thing that's kind of hard for me is there's so many great talks in the process of having to go from X to we ended up with 30 talks and 6 workshops, having to not accept all of them and knowing that there are great talks that didn't get accepted either because there's multiple that were sent with the same topic or it maybe wasn't right for Rails Conf, but maybe it was right for Ruby Conf, stuff like that.
Is that feedback that they receive? Of like, those are your thoughts, right? Oh, this might be a grade for RubyConf. Is that something that they would ever know? Or is that just feedback that you kind of keep in your head?
If a CFP proposer replies back and asks for feedback, Ruby Central will give a best faith effort to provide a response for what it was for that speaker. So I guess like, particularly for this conference, I can say for the people that have asked for feedback just now, the committee has been working on getting them feedback as of this recording, and it has not gone out. But if you did submit and you want to know, let us know and we'll get back to you.
Nice. And I'm sure that will be a very thoughtful review. I have a tendency to be, how do I say this? I like to say what I feel in my head is the right thing. So if you were to ask me, like, why does my talk not accept it? I might tell you the truth. So it sounds like they're going to get some good feedback, though. And I found that to be helpful when I submitted CFPs of like, why wasn't this accepted? Because if you just get that non-accepted email, it's like, well, why? I feel like I put all this work into it. And so I feel like there are people like me who like just want to know why so that they can improve it in the future. Are you worried about people who you might bump into at RailsConf who are like, hey, I submitted a talk. Why wasn't mine accepted?
I mean, I wasn't until right now.
You should be. I say that because there are people in this world who do things like that. So I was just curious.
Well, if you are listening, then you'll know how we're going to respond.
Yeah. Cool. What has been the most rewarding part? I'm going to go with Kevin first. What's been the most rewarding part of this experience for you so far?
So I think for me, it's been the realization of the expectation for why I joined to begin with, which was to try to make as outsized of an impact as possible. I've had the fortune of speaking a few times at different conferences and helping people with their individual talks in that way. But this was the next step for me to be like, how much more of the community can I help with whatever it is I'm doing right now? So I'm really thankful to have had the opportunity and to continue to have the opportunity to do this so that I can help put the entire conference together. And that's very meaningful for me because RailsConf is very meaningful for me. So I'm very thankful to be able to do that.
What about you, Julie?
I think that's hard to answer without going through the whole...
That's fair.
Yeah. I want to say that my role, and maybe we could talk about what our roles are, but my role is speaker liaison. So I help speakers get everything that they need and make them feel special. And I've been setting folks, by the way, if you are listening and you are speaking and you would like a speaker mentor, I can help set you up with a speaker mentor. And Kevin is one of the speaker mentors. And I got Kevin set up with somebody, and it's really nice to get people that kind of help. So right now, I think that's probably one of the most rewarding, but I think once we're in the program, I think there'll be more.
How did you both get on the program committee?
So the short answer is Ufuk. The longer answer is Ufuk. Ufuk joined the Ruby Central board, and that was announced as part of RubyConf. And after that, when I was talking to him and congratulating him for that, I was just offhand saying, hey, if you need anything, keep me in mind. I'm happy to help. And during that conversation, he was like, oh, how about a program committee? And I was like, yeah, sure. You're never going to remember this. And then he sent me an email. I was like, hey, what's up? Program committee time. And I was like, yep, okay, let's do this.
Yes, I do this thing where I tell people, oh my God, anything you need, just let me know. I'm your guy. And then when they later ask me, I'm like, why did I say that? I'm like, I still do it and I'm still happy to do it. But I have a hard job of trying to prevent myself from overloading with commitments.
Yes, I did say that somewhat flippantly, but honestly, I was mostly honored that Ufuk even remembered or considered actually inviting me. So I'm very thankful for that.
How about you, Julie?
Yeah, Ufuk had reached out to me, and like my initial reaction was like, do you have the right person?
Didn't reach out to me. Nah, I wouldn't have wanted to do it anyway. So
I told him I would do it under one condition. No Andrew Mason.
Dude, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Saved me so much work and stress.
Well, oh, by the way, because I was talking about speaker mentors, for those that don't know or don't remember, Kevin was previously on a show and we had talked about conference speaking, and I'll link that in the show notes.
What do you think is going to be the hardest part of being on the program committee while at the conference?
At least for me, I don't know. I'm hoping the answer is not much and I can just enjoy the experience. But with the caveat that I know in the back of my head, like, I guess something could happen and someone could need me. So I guess there's some added heightened awareness while I'm doing my regular conference thing, but I don't expect it to impact things too much. And hopefully I'm right about that.
How about you, Julie?
Yeah, I'm not sure either, but I would say the parts where I feel like I'd like to run away to the hotel and be alone, I might not have that opportunity. But other than that, yeah, I'm not really sure yet.
Until now, observability was metrics, logs, and traces. It was reliability budgets, error rates, and latencies. It was big acronyms on a central dashboard. In short, it was what the ops team cared about, not the developers. But Honeybadger is changing that. Of course, you need the big picture, the single pane of glass that lets you know what your system is doing and that it's operating normally. But individual users matter too. User experience is more than just a line on a dashboard. Honeybadger's observability platform lets you drill down into the details, into the individual user experiences that drive product development and your business forward. It helps you understand your product and your users as much as it does your systems and performance. Honeybadger's free developer plan includes error tracking, uptime monitoring, custom charts and dashboards, and 50 megabytes per day of structured event logging. To get started, visit honeybadger.io. That's www.honeybadger.io. Kevin, what would you want someone who has no insight into this process, maybe something that you realize, oh, well, this is actually a lot more difficult because of this, or maybe, oh, this is actually really easy. What kind of aspect of it maybe surprised you?
I think we talked about a lot of them already. So I guess I'll just like highlight some of the main things of just the program committee is all just people. And it's also different people, and different people have different perceptions of what makes a good program. So a talk being not accepted by one group of people, again, could be a very great talk and been not accepted for very valid reasons. Like there were 17 talks about this exact thing and we could only have 4 max or whatever it might be. But that doesn't mean that it's not good forever, because it also wasn't not good, right? It was good. There were other factors at play. And it's not magic. We're all just people that came together and we're doing our best to put on a good show, quite frankly.
I think that's a good way to word it. These are people. Don't take things personally if your talk is rejected. Like, everyone's trying to do their best to put on the best possible program that they can. Not everything makes it. That's not a reflection on you. At the end of the day, we all have the same goal, and that's to have an amazing RailsConf.
Sure.
Yeah. Sure.
Kevin, what's your role on the program committee and how do you feel so far?
Yeah. So I'm part of the tracks group, which is kind of funny because we don't have tracks this year. But essentially what that means is responsibility of the overall program beyond the initial selection process, right? So I tried to play a more heavy hand in helping out with the scheduling and organizing of the things that were accepted. And I'm taking some responsibility for, you know, as we mentioned before, if proposers want to know why their talk wasn't accepted this time, I'm reviewing them over again and putting together drafts of what to improve upon for the future. And also just generally being aware or available for whatever folks might need. Like Julie mentioned that there was someone looking for a speaker mentor, so helping out there. I mean, my perspective is just sort of at this point, just whatever comes up, if I can help out there.
Julie, what is your role? I think you might have mentioned it a little bit already.
One was the speaker liaison, which I help the speakers feel special and get them what they need. And then I also helped sign up for workshops. So kind of helping schedule when the workshops happen.
Gotcha. How many workshops are going to be this year?
There's, I believe, 6.
Cool. Are you excited for them?
Yes.
Cool.
And the schedule is out too. I'll put some more links in the thing.
I do also want to clarify, just in case people aren't familiar, what tracks are at a conference. So some conferences will organize groups of talks together in some thematic way. And if there are multiple sessions going on at the same time, they might say, like, in room A, we're going to talk about testing. And in room B, we're going to talk about action controller. And in room C, we're going to talk about insert other Rails thing that I should probably know about because I'm on a program committee for RailsConf. But this year, we're not having those like defined themes. Obviously, we're going to have different talks in different rooms, but the goal is really that everything aligns up to the overall theme of the conference, which is building with Rails, as opposed to segmenting it down into further areas to focus on.
And Kevin actually wrote a fun blog about tracks not at RailsConf, which is a good read that I will put in the show notes as well.
I've asked this question to people before, and it tends to be a little bit difficult, but I'm going to try it. What do you want your impact to be on RailsConf?
Generally, overall, I want to make sure everyone has a safe, helpful, and educational time where they meet good people and learn good things and can take things back to their work or just their individual practices for how they want to improve in their day-to-day lives. That's a bit grandiose, but I'll stick with it. But then more specifically, there are certainly things that I'm excited to see about the friends of mine who are first-time speakers, and I'm really excited to see what the process is like for them. I'm excited to help out through the speaker mentorship program and get that experience of seeing how things evolved over time to then come up with like, and then look at that, you did an amazing job on stage. And that's not due to me at all, but it was fun to be part of the process throughout that. So I think the things that will be more tangible to me are some of those more specific things. And I'm excited to see what small part I play in having those all come together.
And there's a reason why I signed up to be speaker liaison. By the way, there's 2 speaker liaisons and Zarella was a speaker liaison for RubyConf. And I found it incredibly helpful to have her kind of guide me into this role here now. But the reason why I signed up to be speaker liaison, because I care about the speakers and want them to have a good experience. And I'm hoping that by being in this role, I can be that for them.
Nice. I like that answer a lot. Was there anything else we wanted to talk about the RailsConf committee?
RailsConf is happening this year, May 7th through 9th in Detroit. We hope you can join us.
What are you looking forward to the most?
The most. So that's hard because I mean, there's a lot of things, right? There are conference friends that you see once or twice a year, and you know where you see them is going to be at these conferences. So I'm very much looking forward to seeing those people. I think we put together a really strong program, and I'm excited about the talks and the workshops that we have. So I'm excited to see how other people react to that. And I think sort of what we've talked about before, of just like the unknown of how this process is going to wind up, I'm hopeful that there'll be some sense of satisfaction at the completion of like, we did a thing and it worked and everyone had an okay time and I played a small part in that. So now I feel good about that. But that remains to be seen.
I've heard a lot of people talk. I mean, we've interviewed on here and on Remote Ruby a lot of people involved this year in RailsConf. And I think the overwhelming tone is they think that it's going to be really great. Everyone has mentioned that the committee or that the program feels strong, that they're happy with the way they're doing the tracks this year, that they're excited about the hack day, that they're excited about having a more focused approach. So I'm not going to be able to make it this year because of another commitment, but I'm very excited. It sounds like it's going to be maybe even a return to the way things quote unquote used to be in a way. Because I remember when I first went to my first RailsConf, it was immaculate. It was huge. It was so cool. And recent years have not felt like that. But it sounds like with Ufug and with Andy Kroll and with all the people on the committee, like it really sounds like that's the goal this year, is to return RailsConf to its former greatness.
I think we're all really invested in making sure that everyone enjoys their time, and we do everything we can to make sure that happens.
That's great. Julie, is there anything else you want to talk about?
I was going to say, it's not going to be the same without you.
I know. I'll miss y'all. But I got to go to Vermont.
Who will Julie ask to start a podcast with now?
You better not be asking no one else. Wait, hold on. I didn't even think about that. She's going to come back with two new podcasts and we'll be pissed. Nah, I would be happy for you, of course.
We can't all be Andrew.
Yeah. Yeah. No one can be me, really. I don't really have any more questions. Is there anything you want to leave the listeners with, Kevin, like a parting word of wisdom or shout out or something you're working on or anything?
Go to railsconf.org, get your ticket, check out the schedule, and I hope to see you there.
And if you do, come say hi to us.
I was going to say, for me, not on the committee, this is what my thing is for the listeners. If you go to the conference and you're having a great time, remember that there are people behind the scenes that are working outside of their day job and volunteering to put this on. And you should go thank them. They always tell you who the people are on the RailsConf committee. They mention that usually at the beginning of the conference. Thank them. If you are having a great time, let them know, because I'm sure that would mean a lot to them, and remind them that what they're doing is important. And by doing that, we ensure that we have more volunteers for the next conference. So that's my message. And if that's it, then we'll wrap it up here. Kevin, thank you so much for coming on. Tell people where they can find you online.
The easiest place is just kevinjmurphy.com. You can find all my various places that I'm on the internet there.
Very cool. And Kevin writes really good blog articles I want to mention, so go check his website out and read some of his posts. I think you'll enjoy them. We'll be back next week. Same time, same great place, same great people. Bye.
Bye, everyone.